I've got prostate cancer, but I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, go, go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com. CP43-9267-V1.
Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I'm here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my co-host and husband, Gino Barbaro.
I thought it was your husband and co-host.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, either one. Whichever, okay. You know.
We've got a great couple on today. Let me get through their bio because I want to really, you know, set the stage here because it's an amazing couple. They joined the Jake and Gino community a little bit over a year ago. We're going to discuss the personal development and their growth and the relationship that they have. And in Fernando, they're both active multifamily real estate investors and still have their day jobs as process engineers in the oil and gas industry. They met in and graduated from the University of Florida, 2015, where they both studied chemical engineering. After graduating, they both worked as process engineers and project managers for major oil and gas in Texas. It was during this time while living in Midland, Texas, that Anna and Fernando first realized the power of real estate investing when they ran and operated their first Airbnb. As it became apparent that their W-2 job and 401k would not support the current and retirement lifestyle that they wanted, they end up quitting their corporate jobs in Texas in order to move to the location of their dreams in Denver, Colorado. After finding new jobs and setting up in their new location, they ended up joining the Jake and Gino community and passively partnering on their first multifamily property. This allowed for them to see the firsthand power of multifamily real estate investing as an opportunity to create passive income and build wealth for their family. They started Alpha Peak Capital, which is the goal of not only growing their portfolio, but also to help others realize the power that real estate investing can have on generational wealth creation. They are passionate about self-development, personal growth, and helping others along the way. Without further ado, welcome Anna and Fernando.
Welcome.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
Let's start with you, Fernando. How did you get into real estate? I mean, what was the real attraction? The first Airbnb can't be that, because it's got to be hard going through the grind and saying, you know what, I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. But what really attracted you to real estate?
Yeah, so really it's Anna, but within real estate itself, as soon as we graduated, I'd always been key on saving as much as possible and minimizing expenses. Mm-hmm. So if you've heard of it, the FIRE movement or financial independence, retirement early, from the time we graduated in 15 until now, the oil and gas industry has gone through booms and busts. And so we always, while we love what we do, always wanted to be financially independent. And so we just needed to save as much as possible. And we always had that scarcity mindset of, I'm not going to bring more dollars in, so I need to minimize what I spend.
Can you say that again?
How does it FIRE, FIRE, financial independence, retirement early.
So everyone write that down, financial independence, retirement early. So Anna, what does retirement look like? Because to me, I'm retired right now, right? So, I mean, it's something different for everybody. My wife is laughing right now.
I'm laughing because everyone has their own thoughts of
retirement, right? Yeah. I mean, to me, it's not sitting on the beach. I thought it was. That lasted for about 6 minutes. I'm like, I can't sit down myself. So, you know, you're financially independent, you retire early. What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, and that's a great question, because when Fernando started introducing me to the FIRE movement, and he's like, this is what we have to do, you know, the industry is volatile. We may not have jobs. When we came in, when we actually graduated, was one of the like large cycles for corporate layoffs in the oil and gas industry. And so we saw that firsthand, like our coworkers, you know, would have been coworkers that were older, maybe even younger people were just being walked out the door literally within weeks of us starting. And so to us, it was just like a big wake up reality call. And Fernando said, you know, we should look into this. He was trying to get me on the bandwagon for like, yes, let's save as much as we can and try to maybe retire early. And as I listen, so there's a bunch of podcasts on this movement. And a lot of people talk about what they do past their retirement. And it's like, oh, I moved to Mexico or Belize. And, you know, I'm sitting, like now I'm sitting in this villa and it's noon and I'm drinking. And I'm just like, that is not my idea of retirement. Mm-hmm. Even if we were to move somewhere, I was telling Fernando, I would want to go and like, let's say we're living in Belize in some small community. I would want to set up some sort of an organization to either build schools or, you know, promote the that specific area in some way or another, or teach skills or do something with our engineering degrees in terms of maybe helping with the infrastructure or I don't know, septic. There's so many things, so many different organizations. So I think I always saw it as a way to give back. Like that's what I would be doing in my retirement. I would use our abilities that we have and the knowledge that we have and build upon that to just help either people or entire communities.
So what did you think about the FIRE movement once you started diving into that? You're like, that's not what I want to do because I'm going to have limited funds. It sounds like it's coming from a scarcity mindset, right?
Yeah.
You know, Garrett Gunderson talks about it. You can listen to a podcast we did with Garrett Gunderson about 18 months ago. He talks about abundance versus scarcity. I was the same way as you. You're both immigrants. My parents both immigrants also. We were taught to save, save, save. And you know what's going on currently now. I'm not going to talk too much business, Julie. I know she's already given me the eye. This is supposed to be personal and spousal. I get that. But we need to talk about this because this is important because spouses need to understand this. Sometimes we're taught something and we just hold on to it and we think that's the truth. But when we go out there and we start researching and what you guys did joining the Jake and Gino community and getting out of your comfort zone and realizing that saving is a great thing. But if we save for an event, that's going to be hard because our money is not earning any money, right? And all of a sudden when that event is over, it's gone, it's done. So the FIRE sounds great. That strategy sounds great on paper, but you know what? You guys are both really healthy. You're going to retire young, let's say 45 years old. You've got another 40 years of living. Where is that money coming from? You need to own assets or you need to something that's going to be paying you off. So for me, that is like, okay, that's the struggle. So when you guys got on the Jake and Gino community, what were you looking for? What was a personal development that you guys were looking for? And what, how have you progressed over those last 18 months?
Yeah, so I'll just jump in really quick. So my parents have always been business owners and they've built amazing businesses. I've seen huge booms, huge busts in that as well. And so the entire time I always told Anna, I will never own my own business because I never want to deal with all of those headaches. Mm-hmm. And so for years, Anna was literally saying, let's start a business. Let's get some real estate. Let's do something. Let's just start something. And I never wanted to. And so through FIRE, Anna started showing me bigger pockets in real estate. And then from bigger pockets, we started listening to Wheelbarrow Profits probably 24 months ago or so. And that's when everything just started clicking. And I realized that it's all systems and processes and getting the right systems in place such that nothing is overwhelming and I can step away if I need to, as long as I have all that set up. So that's kind of the first bit. And then,
yeah, no, ultimately it is just building the systems and processes. And for us as engineers, that really resonated with me a while back, but I think I didn't articulate it to Fernando in a way that made sense to him. Mm-hmm. And so I think listening to the podcast has been so great. The fact that they're out there, because it's something we could do like on our drive to work. And yeah, it basically clicked for him. And for me, I've also seen it as a way, like my vision of the future was working together. I love working with Fernando and I know some couples don't like working together, but for us, it's what we've done since we've met. So we met in college. Mm-hmm. We met basically the first week after we transferred into our program, we were on the same track. We would study together and we just really do well working together. Even in our corporate job, we ended up working on the same team in charge of the same field. So I was executing projects, you know, and he was doing some process work in the same field. So it was just a lot of communication, a lot of back and forth. And I always saw it in my mind as a business that we can build out doing it together, because we have a lot of complementary skills, despite the fact that we sometimes sound like the same person.
So you, this is one more question before I get let Julie hit you with a few. You use the word articulate. I mean, that's a very high level word. Men, sometimes like myself, maybe Fernando, we need to be dumbed down a little bit. We need to have that picture a little bit. As far as communication, how did you communicate that? Because I'll give you a simple story. I always told my wife that I wanted to become financially free. And for her, that didn't resonate with her because she didn't really know what that meant. But when I said to her, you know, Julia, we can really move down to Florida. We can live a great lifestyle. We can donate to charity more. We don't have to work as much, even though we're working more, but we're working with purpose now. That's what financial freedom meant to me, but I wasn't articulating it to her. How do you guys communicate amongst yourselves, you know, at that level where you guys can really make each other understand what you're really talking about? Because sometimes we're talking at somebody, but we're not talking to somebody or with somebody. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So how do you communicate? How do you guys communicate to each other?
So I know how we used to communicate, and I know how we're currently communicating. So before, we used to communicate, we were always stressed because we were working 70-hour weeks just on our W-2. Mm-hmm. And so we'd come home, and it just didn't feel like there was enough hours, and we don't know who's in charge, and we weren't really planning. But since we joined Jake and Gino, and then when we joined the Make It Happen Mastermind as well, we started putting together a vision. We started putting together a goal. And that really helped us communicate in different parts of our lives what our 5, 3, and 1 year vision is, right? In our personal, in our business, within ourselves as a couple, with our family, with our community. And so I think that really helped a ton, that we're able to both be aligned in our 5 year goal and talk about how we're going to get there and how difficult that could be if we think it's difficult.
I like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's just, it's about laying out the vision, sitting down together, taking a pause on other things, create a vision for you know, next year, next 5 years, and so forth, and then work backwards from there. And I think just having that conversation and taking some time apart from other things just really helps make sure we understand each other. Mm-hmm.
You know, Fernando and Anna, first of all, I just want to say that I'm super thankful that you're part of Jake and Gino. You're an amazing couple, and I'm so excited you're on today to get to know you even a little bit more. And I'm noticing there's a lot of couples joining the Jake and Gino community, which I'm loving. So everyone out there, hear what I just said. So come on board. But you know, I'm sure the two of you get a lot of these questions. How do you actually work together? Because we're living together, we're working together. It's like you're never separate. And there could be some challenges, which are normal. And I want to just point that out, is that that's being realistic. But what do you do when you face them? You know, give us an idea of what it's like.
I think we have a great example from Saturday. Saturday, we got an email from a partner. They're like, hey, look at this deal. It's on the MLS. We look at it. We call the broker, or Anna calls the brokers. I was working on some other stuff. I was in a boot camp for mobile homes, just learning. Anna calls the brokers since she had a little bit of time. So we split, you know, what we're working on. And then she comes in. It's like, I think we need to make an offer now. Right. So it's you know, setting that clear vision of, all right, who's responsible for what, right? Because this is difficult. We're making an offer on a property within, you know, half an hour of even hearing about it. What do we need to do to get that done? What do we need to be comfortable to get that done? And that's like a really stressful moment. Literally, when we heard that the offer even got accepted, went into the fetal position because we're like, we don't know what we're doing here, right? So
don't worry, I wake up that way and I go to sleep that way, so I'm used to that position. After even thousands of units, you still have that feeling every day. Trust me, so you ain't the only one.
But what I want to add to it is, you know, that portion of communication, right? Like, this is what's stressing me out about the deal. This is what's stressing me out about the process. And that other person just listening and saying, okay, I understand where you're coming from, and listening to it from like a more detached perspective and saying, okay, well, what do we need to do to fix that? What do we need to do to get in front of those problems, right? And that's just huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say from the part of our personal development this year specifically, like especially after joining Jake and Gino, has been a focus on self-development. But then through that, I really wanted to also focus on just being a better partner. Mm-hmm. And especially knowing that we're going to work together in the future. And I know certain things that Fernando like wants to hear, or the way that I can relay the information to him, if I can put something and make it into a formula, he will get it. But he's just that type of an analytical type of person. And so sometimes I have to present an information to him in a way that makes sense to him, and also just be responsive to how, like, what makes him stress out. And that's when I know it's my cue to maybe take my own stress to the side. Like, we can't be both stressed out and like running around like chickens with our heads cut off, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I found that he does very much the same thing. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'm stressed about something, he grounds himself and he says, okay, what's really stressing you out, and tries to understand that. So I think it's a mutual understanding, and yeah, just knowing that you have to be there for the other person when they need you the most.
So would you say that by working together, you've actually really grown in your relationship?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Isn't that amazing? Because everyone's like, no, I could never do it. I can never do it. But no, I feel the opposite. That's what I noticed between the two of us.
But honestly, the real reason why, if I can make a couple of points of what you said, because you just said a lot in the last 2 minutes. First of all, you're working on personal development. It hasn't happened overnight, mm-hmm, right? This has been a progression over the last 12 to 18 months where you're working on yourself, you're learning the business, and you're learning how to adapt, and you're learning how to work together. You don't just wake up one morning and go, hey, Joel, I'm going to work with you, right? It's a progression. You should go back to our first podcast and see this one. It's much better. So commit and then figure it out. That's what you guys did over the last year. You made a big commitment. You understand what your why was. That's really important. And if your spouse is, you should be able to work together, because it's a partnership. You have aligning interests. You both want to grow, right? You both want to become financially free. You both want to grow a family. So that's the first thing with the partnership. And then the other thing is you need to hold each other accountable, which is what you're doing, right? And even more importantly, the communication aspect of it. You cannot diminish what they just said here. They know how to communicate to each other, right? If you could take a DISC assessment, Briggs Meyer, whichever one you want to talk about, you have to know how the other person relays information. If my wife, I speak to her and she relays it and she gets stressed as soon as I say something, there's a different way for me to say it, to relay that information. It's really, really important. And Fernando works in numbers. He looks like a picture guy, where he has to formulate a picture in his mind, and he's very analytical. So that's how he communicates. That's really important. Learn how your partner communicates and speak to them that way.
I love that.
You do?
Yeah, let's work on that.
Yeah. No,
see, you're giving us more work over here.
It is work though, but it's been one of the most rewarding things to be able to do. Yeah. Because people think like, oh, I'm with this person and so they should be perfect for me, but it really starts with you. You're mm-hmm. the person that's going to put in 100%, you know, and then the other person hopefully puts in 100%, but it's not necessarily 50-50. It's 100-100, and then kind of you work from there. You have to start understanding where you need to let certain things go. And it's so much rewiring your brain from the way we grew up, right? We talk about scarcity mentality and how we grew up in families where you have to save, and you can't, you know, you have to do things alone. You shouldn't spend like $50 here to call someone out. But it's like, if this is the most efficient use of my time, mm-hmm. I'm coming at it from the scarcity mentality. And similarly, what I find that a lot of couples do, and I've done this so much myself, is somebody does, so let's say Fernando does something, and I think like in the back of my mind, I'm just like, oh, he did that on purpose, or something yes. like that. He wanted to make me angry. And just now just being more aware of that, mm-hmm. and catching myself thinking what I'm thinking, like what's truly making me flare up inside. Oh, it's this thought in the back of my mind. Is that really true? No, he probably did not do this on purpose. And then I'll just tell him and he'll be like, yeah, no, I just, sorry.
Guys, that's really important. What you're talking about really are the foundations of life coaching. Honestly, you're mm-hmm. talking about limiting beliefs, We all have those limiting beliefs. We have to save, save, save. Well, who taught you that? Your family taught you that. Is that true? It may be, but that may be limiting you to get something else, right? And the second one is the classic, what we call interpretation. These are energy blocks. These are blocks of energy that are restricting you from doing something. So if you're interpreting a situation where Fernando's trying to get you mad, right? But maybe that's not his, that's not his goal at all. Maybe he's really stressed out. He just worked 12 hours. He's on the verge of losing his job and he doesn't mean to really get you mad. That's just the way that he's, that he's portraying himself at that moment in time. We talk about levels of energy also, right? Those are two important things. When you become self-aware, you become conscious of what you're doing, that'll take, I think, your relationship to the next level.
Yeah, no, definitely. To, I think, just any, if everyone listening out there, to have a really good solid relationship, you really do need to work on yourself first. That personal development, just like you said, Anna, is so, so true. And I wish people would do it before they got into a relationship, maybe like in college or something. You know, I've had my two of my kids already do life coaching course because it's so important. It helps every single relationship because you question what their people's motives are, but meanwhile, you can literally just ask them and we forget just the simple basics, you know?
Yeah. And just to add to that, you know, Julia, Gino, Jake, Josh, Dylan, all of you, what you've created has been incredible. One, I used to be the person in the room who would hear about personal development and all of these like motivational speakers and think that's all baloney, right?
Yes.
Like, what is the point of any of that?
Yes.
And from joining the program, opening up my mind a little bit, starting to listen to those messages, realizing how powerful personal development is. There's two books I've read that I think have completely helped me with communicating with Anna, right? How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yes. That was a huge book. And then the charisma myth, right? That like charisma is a learned or developed skill. For some people, it's more natural, but you can still pick it up. And it's a lot of, hey, when you listen to someone, make sure that what they're saying is how you're interpreting it. So ask them, am I understanding you correctly, right? That has been huge. There's times where like I've been ready to blow up and I say like, am I understanding you correctly? Like Anna saying. And she's like, no, that's not what I mean at all, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, the personal development has just been incredible, right? And we, thankfully through Jake and Gino, we got into personal development. But that has been, mindset and personal development are just enormous.
So what was holding you back from going to the personal development? What was your block on it?
I just didn't think it was something that's useful.
Yeah.
I think there was, in a way, some cynicism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, two things I wanted to say. Life coaching is coming back in the conversation again. You're talking about empowering questions, asking questions that are open-ended. You know, what do you think about that? How, right? Not no, but asking the other side those questions and letting them really answer you. And the other one is listening. Really intuitively listening, not like subjective, like, yeah, okay, Anna, what'd you say? Really listening to Anna and locking in. That's really, really important. So personal development, as you can see, from those energy blocks to your levels of energy, to asking those empowering questions, to listening, these are all skills that can really help out a relationship.
Yeah. No, I too was kind of hesitant about personal development, as you probably know. I kind of made fun of my husband for being a life coach, you know. But I, you know, it was one of those things where I saw the results. And sometimes people just out there need to see results. And I saw them and I was just blown away. And
so what results did you see?
Well, I saw people literally changing their life because of my husband, you know? And so when you see that, you're like, but I know my husband, that's impossible, you know?
Really, it's impossible.
You know what I mean? I'm over-exaggerating just for the fun of it.
Uh-huh.
But it gave me a little bit of curiosity. And then I looked into it a little bit more without you knowing, because I wanted to see what it was for real. And then I thought, wow, this is actually pretty amazing. And here I am, a life coach. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, it's all those out there who really do look down on it or are not sure about it. I promise you, just give it a try, give it a chance, and be open to what it could bring you. Because for me, it brought a really strong, solid relationship with my husband.
So what does your family say about this? What do your friends and family say about the transformation that you guys have had over the last 18 months?
Yeah, I mean, speaking for my family specifically, you know, I've got on my vision board that I want to, you know, make a certain number of calls to my family, right? And spend one-on-one time with them now. Those are things I never had before. So I try to be a lot more present, and I think they've picked up on it a lot, right? Where they tell me that, one, first off, that they don't hear me being like angry and annoyed nearly as often as I was. But two, just that they, I think we spend a lot better, higher quality time together, and they've been noticing and saying that back. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, it's basically the same thing on my side. And as far as friendships go, I think it's also the same. Our friends, we're very fortunate, I think. Our friends are really, really great, and everybody's been really supportive. I think maybe behind our back, they're like, are these people crazy? Like, did Anna and Fernando go off the deep end? But at least in terms of talking to us, you know, everybody's been really, really supportive. And I think they're seeing our success and our growth, and hopefully that's inspiring some of them as well. And we've had some conversations where, you know, some of our friends are starting to ask if there's like certain books we would recommend, or you know, just certain podcasts, and we're sharing a lot of what we've been learning with them as well.
I love that. You could definitely share this podcast, because I would love that, because you have so much knowledge, and you've so much to offer people. So I'm so thankful that you were on today.
I've got more questions.
I know, I'm just making a point. I'm not ending it. You're the ender.
What I want to really mention also, I think what Fernando and Anna have done over the last 12 months, they've gone from maybe a give to get mentality to a seek to serve mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important in personal development, because you're out there, you're you know, offering help to people. You're out there spending time with people on the phone. You're out there underwriting the underwriting pod, whatever that is. How did that shift come about? And what have you seen in your life as far as growth from that area? Because you're not out there looking for something. You're out there just getting on a call and helping somebody out and not expecting anything in return. Very few people do that nowadays.
Yeah, I think for us, we saw it as an incredible opportunity, actually, because when we were in college, we started something similar. So in our program, it was pretty tough. You know, when you would come in into the program, you oftentimes didn't know, like, there was just a lot to do. You had to get your resume built out. You had to take all of these really intense classes. Then you had to look for internships and really start like getting some experience under your belt so you could be marketable for when you graduate. And none of that was really built out in our program. And so we started like an actual program where we were now sophomores, juniors, and we were teaching other freshmen coming in everything we've learned along the way. And that was such a rewarding thing, because we were able to basically make that path much easier for other people. And after graduating, like, we've tried a few things within our corporate world as well, you know, just doing some programs there. But it was so great to be able to start this underwriting pod and to be able to provide that same kind of a service to other people within the community, right? Because we've learned so much within the community already. And so we wanted to be able to provide something back to people here.
And the great thing about it is you provide so much, but at the same time, you're getting a lot of benefits from it also. It's not, but you're not coming from that mindset that I need to get something. Mm-hmm. That's a scarcity mindset. You're coming from the abundance mindset. I'm going to spend an hour and a half of my week plus getting prepared for this just to share with everybody. And if I get some investors, great. But most importantly, you're going to learn so much from that call. And the scarcity mindset person will be like, I'm not going to waste an hour and a half. I'm not getting paid for this. Right. But in the long run, after doing 10 or 15 of these calls, you become a better underwriter. You become a better networker. You become much better on camera. You get those reps in, and having that abundance mindset, I think, lets you see that. So I think it's really cool.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, the underwriting pod specifically, or spending time with people, teaching them what we know, that helps out a ton, because sometimes you may not know about a market somewhere else. Yes. Right. So, or you never know, when you really click with someone, you go, wow, this is someone I'd really love to work with, right?
So yes.
Or opening those communication channels, or you know, sometimes you go, whoa, glad I'm not investing in that market, because look at how things are going. And that's just within, you know, the market perspective. And then, you know, within, you know, our friend group, right? When people see what we're doing and they're interested in this, for us, oil and gas, it's one of those things that we know everyone that works in this industry works really hard, oftentimes very good at their jobs, very highly technical. And they're all living in this fear of who knows if I get fired a year from now, right? Because the industry is so up and down. And so we get to just talk to them about what we're doing and hopefully provide for them just a basis of, hey, in the future, maybe I can start getting some income on the side here, which is huge. It gives you room to ride the bus, right? So
yeah, I love that. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, Wheelbarrow Profits family, are you struggling with ways of teaching your kids about money and financial literacy? Gino, I think we have something to help them. Tell them about it.
We've been hard at work creating the Jake and Gino Youth Academy. The Academy takes a deep dive into good money habits, setting up a budget, investing, taxes, the difference between an asset and a liability, and so much more. This is a great opportunity to spend time with your children, to be their role model when it comes to money and investing, and learn how to set them on the right path to financial success.
If you want more information on how you can become the next Youth Academy member, visit www.jakeandgino.com/education to begin your journey to financial freedom.
As we like to say at Jake and Gino, people with financial intelligence can change the world for the better. Now, Fernando and Anna, Gino and Julia are newlywed couples. We just got married about a year ago. What can you tell us to start working together? Give us some of the challenges, some of the other things that you've done to really start working together. Because I remember we've been on a couple of calls. You say you live in a small apartment. You're working a lot of hours. You're on top of each other. Fernando says the word, I think, on ultimately a lot of times that might annoy you. So I know the little pet peeves. Like, so give us some of the challenges and some of the things that we can do a better job of, you know, even starting to work together.
Yeah, well, first off, you're already married. We're not, so I think that's what makes
not yet.
not yet. Engaged for 7 years now.
Yeah, but I would say just maybe if you're curious about, first start focusing on yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, don't focus on the other person. Don't try to change them or just focus on yourself. Just really try to analyze what makes you tick. What certain things make you angry without actually telling the other person or lashing out at them. Just be introspective and try to understand first what certain things are making you angry and why. And maybe look at your history. There is one book that I can recommend that I really love is eluding me right now. But I will come back to it. But it talks about, it's a book about relationships, and it talks about, you know, our brain, our reptilian brain, right? And how we tend to respond to different situations and what makes us the way we are, mm-hmm. Whether it's, some of it is nature, some of it is nurture. And what I think, it doesn't say it explicitly, but when I think about it, one thing that nobody talks about is choice that you make later, right? So there's nature and nurture, and then there's a choice of who do you want to be, who do you need to become? Yeah. And you have that choice of saying, yes, this is how I grew up, and this is maybe how I was taught, but I have a choice to be different going forward. Love and that. And once you do that, I think, you know, if you can relay that message to your significant other, and they can start doing the same thing with themselves, just each one focusing on yourselves, I think that makes the relationship flourish.
I like that. Beautiful. Fernando, yeah. You got to follow that up. Good luck, my friend.
Yeah, I love what you just said, Anna. I think the one other thing that was a huge just like eye-opener for me, short read, I read it while I was driving for work one day, or listened to it, I should say. But it's the five love languages, right? That's something I never really appreciated or understood. I assume that the way I loved is the way most people love, or the way that Anna should be loved. And with the five languages of love, it just kind of put some vocabulary that made me start thinking differently, that, you know, maybe for me, I've got a huge, I just love, you know, both quality time and personal affection, but maybe Anna, quality time also very large for her, but those acts of service, right, are huge. Yeah. And so, you know, that was just a complete eye opener for me, because it helped me not just with my relationship, but with my family, my friends, realize that everyone's a little bit different. And so that was huge. And, you know, I really think as an engineer, don't ask me to go and figure out, you know, how to build a business necessarily. Not that I can't learn it, right? But ask me how to build a gas plant. If you want to get a strong relationship, go read some books on relationships, because these are people that have poured 30 years of their life into a book, and leaders are readers, right? And if you want a great relationship, what better way than taking those decades down into days, right? And then taking that knowledge in.
Yeah. So it only took me 20 years to figure out the five love languages. So you're way ahead of me. So I didn't know. Yeah. I figured everyone wanted.
It's funny. The funny part about that, we looked into it a little while ago, maybe a couple of years ago, and he told me what my love language was. And I thought that was so interesting. Okay. So maybe you should read that
again.
It took
me a little while. Yeah. It took me a little while to figure that one out, but I want to
that was excellent. What the two of you just said was so, I just loved every word that you just said. So thank you for that. What a message.
I want to recap what they said, because it's important. You know, Anna said, focus on yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Don't change the other person. That's really important. Become conscious and introspective of yourself, right? And the one that I always harp on, if you want to become an entrepreneur or a successful person, you have choice and you have responsibility. You can choose to do what you want to. And my wife always says, if you choose to do nothing, that's still a choice. You choose to do nothing. So you have the ultimate choice. You're the ultimate arbiter of your own life. And then for me, I'll add two more on those. Respect each other as partners, because I know sometimes my wife wants to drop kick me. I can totally know that, and I deserve it, right? But maybe, you know, just have that respect towards, and she's laughing because she knows, right? Backhand's coming soon. And the other one is, you're a team. You guys are both a team. That's what sometimes we forget. It's not me against her. I don't have to look better than she does, or she doesn't look better than me. We have to complement each other and try to work towards a common goal. We're not on different teams. We're on the same team. And I think people forget that, you know, when it comes to relationship.
Yeah, no, that's true. I've noticed that is that people are working. A couple is literally working against each other. Whether there's slight jealousy or something in there, it's a reminder sometimes that you are working together. And encourage the other person. If they're better at something, encourage that, right?
So I'm going to share a quick story with you guys. I haven't mentioned this yet, so this is the first time. Bill Hamm is launching his book called Creative Cash. It's coming out February 9th, maybe the time of this recording. And he wrote the acknowledgments to the book. And my wife opens the book, and she's got like a paragraph acknowledgement. Thank you, Julia. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have written the book, blah, blah. And then she turns down and goes, thanks. And then he writes down, thanks, Jake and Gino. Thanks a lot. Couldn't done it without you. And she's like, you see, I got a bigger acknowledgement than
that's
you did.
That's the only thing I have and on
the
you.
The only thing she
I
has on
me. I had the biggest smile on my face. I just had.
But you see what I'm saying? It's a joke now. But maybe 15 years ago, we would have been really competitive. Right. And that would have really bothered me. But you know what?
Yeah.
I'm really excited that she did that, because I want her to talk to as many of the students as possible, because I know she can bring tremendous value. If I was coming from a place of ego that I had to be the top person, that won't work in a relationship. We're trying to complement each other. And the fact that she spent a few hours with Bill and I've spent hundreds of hours on this book really should bother me, but it doesn't bother me, because if it wasn't for her, he probably wouldn't have written the book. So I just thought that was,
I think that's great.
An interesting
I
story.
I love that story. Yeah.
No, yeah, that's great. And so true what you said, right? It's also like at the end of the day, you are a team and you work together and for a common good.
Right.
And the only thing that can come in there is the ego, because again, if you're focused on yourself, you're just focusing on what value you can provide, mm-hmm. and you know what complementary skills your partner has. And so there shouldn't be any competition, because without their complementary skills, yours wouldn't be as good as they are.
Mm-hmm. 1+1 is not 2 in a partnership. 1+1 can equal 3, whether it's a business partnership like myself and Jake, or that's my wife and myself. It doesn't have to equal 2, because we can do so many more things. Before we sign off, I want to hear your guys' 1, 3, and 5-year goals. What have you guys mapped out? Because proper planning prevents poor performance. It's very important, because if you don't plan, you're not going to be ready. So what are you guys looking for the future? What are your goals?
Yeah, so our 5-year goal, so 5 years from now in year 5, our goal is, you know, $25 million of real estate that we'll be closing on that year, right? Mm. So now we set that as our 5-year goal. And so we can back out the 3 year, the 1 year, and we know, hey, this is how much we need to underwrite. This is how many investors we need to bring in. This is how many markets we need to have. These are, you know, you just start building that roadmap to get there. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a huge number, but you start building it up and you go, hey, that's doable, right? One domino knocks down a domino 50% bigger. So mm-hmm. you start running that principle. If you focus on the one thing that makes a huge difference, then you can really make a huge impact. And then, you know, with our family goals, we know 5 years from now that we want to have 4 kids and we have 0 today, right? So so that's
sometimes they come in multiples.
Exactly. That's what we were hoping for. Yeah.
And so that's one piece of it. So you know, you can kind of think back at the 3 and the 1 year goal, but also that we want to move closer to family. We want to start an organization for our 4 pillars, which is why we're working as hard as we are in the first place. And so instead of waiting until, you know, we're 60 or something to give back, we want to start doing that really, really soon after. So then our 1 and our 3 year goals are really, okay, let's start creating more passive or horizontal income so we can step away from our W-2s, so we can spend a lot more time with family and friends, and then kind of go from there. Yeah.
And build out our presence, because we're basically gonna have to, in order to get to that amount of real estate, we're just gonna have to network a lot more, right? Put ourselves out there and really find partners that aligned with our vision and our goal.
So how do people start, you know, like you guys have started off on this journey? Let's say people are just starting out and they want to get into real estate. They might not have the strongest balance sheet. How did you guys just start out? Did you start the fire right away and start cutting expenses and focus on income? Can you tell the listeners what their next step should be? Did you read Dave Ramsey, or what did you guys do to really get started? Because you need your balance sheet in order. You can't have a ton of debt and a ton of liabilities and then say, hey, I'm going to become financially free in 3 years. It's possible, but the probability is not, you know, it might take you 5 years to 6 years. There's nothing saying that you can't do it. It'll just take you longer. Where should people really start?
Yeah, so I think that goes back to the question of what's your goal 5 years from now? Is it to be with family? You know, what's your why? And so if you have your why, I think that helps better align it, because if your goal is, hey, you want to retire 20 years from now, then yeah, you know, do what's called, you know, focus on this thing called a savings rate, right? Where, you know, if you're bringing in this much income and you have this many expenses, the rest you're saving, right? Mm-hmm. And so that savings rate, you can start tracking and focus on to say, hey, how can I make my savings rate higher? Because if I make my savings rate higher, intuitively your expenses go down, and then you don't need as much. And so there, if you're into just FIRE, there's that whole movement. You can Google it. There's a million articles on it. And then just beyond the FIRE, and the reason this is important is, you know, do you love your job? Because if you love your job, run that path and mm-hmm. don't do just FIRE. Balance, you know, your personal life, balance vacations, have a whole life, right? Not just a single one. But if your focus is, hey, I don't love my job, then you need to get more aggressive, right? You need to go say, okay, I don't have money. Maybe I can learn how to cold call. I can learn how to go direct to seller. I can start getting secondary streams of income that are way more active. Or say, hey, I'm going to be boots on the ground for someone else. Mm-hmm.
Love that.
Well, you, Fernando and Anna, you have brought so much value to our listeners. So I just want to, like, seriously thank you. You know, I really do. And I'm thankful that you are part of the Jake and Gino community, as I've said before. And anything you want to add?
Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
Sure. Yeah. So Facebook is probably one of the easiest places now. I didn't use Facebook for a long time, but it seems like there's a lot of real estate stuff happening there. So, yeah. So we're always on there.
Facebook or LinkedIn. Yeah. Anna Latasheva, Fernando Arias. It's probably not the easiest to spell, but it'll be.
We'll put a link. We'll put a link for you.
And then aside from that, I mean, always by phone, more than happy to take a call and just connect with people, you know, ear to ear. So it's 941-225-3807 for me.
Yeah, and 720-682-7249 for me.
All right.
Awesome. We'll put that on the show notes too.
And before I forget, the book that I was talking to, which I think is a great book to follow up to 5 Languages of Love, is Getting the Love You Want. So that's by Harville Hendrix. Yeah, and it's both him and his wife that wrote
it. Nice. I'm going to check that out. I love that.
Julia, during our last couples coaching that we were on with you and Gino, you know, just wanted to say thank you, right, for putting that together. That's huge. But, you know, you asked us, hey, spend some time noticing one thing in the other person that you really appreciate or you fell in love with originally, right? And that's something that I really love because, you know, we start our mornings with like gratitude journaling and that sets your frame of mind. But also when you're focused on finding something you love about someone, then you're not really focused on like the negatives, right? Mm-hmm. So it just like reframes your mind. So thanks for doing that.
Oh.
Dude, that's important.
I love that.
You know what that's
Thank
called?
You.
That's called the RAS. That's called your reticular activating system. It's like when you buy a car that's red, all of a sudden you see these red cars. Whatever you focus on grows everybody. Mm-hmm. That's an awesome way to end this podcast. Think about that. Yeah. Don't always look for the negative. The optimist is always looking, and people say it's the glass half full. Well, it really means a lot because when the glass is half full, you have possibility to fill that glass. But if you look at it as half empty, then you know what? It's going to be really a lot harder because you're looking at it as a negative. What's the one thing that my wife does that I'm really, you know, honestly, one thing that she really does is I never have to worry about my laundry. That's just something great. I never got to worry about getting food. Those are two great things that she does. We're just joking.
Yeah.
Taking care of the kids and all that stuff. But no, I agree.
No, that's a good awesome. Thing to actually ask all the audience is find that one thing, whether it's in your spouse, someone you love, even in your children. You know, sometimes we forget, you know, the kids are little and we forget about those little things. You know, sometimes we see them as like that little girl, you know, even though they're 21 years old and we notice that little kid way about them. So that's a really good idea is maybe to look. Thank you for Fernando for mentioning
what
that.
Julia is trying to say is everyone on the call who's listening to it, she challenges you all to find that one thing about your significant other.
Yes.
Thanks everybody. We appreciate you guys for being on.
Thank you so much.
I've got prostate cancer. But I really wanted to make it to the big game with my grandson. And here we are. Go, 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 go!
With Erleada, apalutamide, being there is possible. Erleada is a prescription medicine used to treat prostate cancer that has spread to other parts of the body and still responds to a medical or surgical treatment that lowers testosterone. Erleada may cause serious side effects, including heart disease, stroke, or severe skin reactions, which can lead to death, falls, fractures, and seizure. Seek immediate medical attention if you experience symptoms of a stroke or severe rash. Erleada can cause harm to or loss of an unborn baby. Common side effects were fatigue, joint pain, rash, decreased appetite, weight loss, high blood pressure, hot flash, and diarrhea. Ask your doctor if Erleada is right for you. Or tap this ad to visit Erleada.com, CP43926 7V1.